In Ghana, by God's grace, there is no hostility. People are receptive. In fact, because we are very religious, it is not polite to even resist somebody who is coming to share the gospel with you. But there is so much confusion in terms of what it is to be a Christian. And much of it is like work, you know, trying to be Christian. And you may find people, 76% more will go to church, but they don't really know what the gospel is. And it's difficult to get them out of their church, even when you evangelize them and they are saved. You know, especially those in the Catholic and the Presbyterian churches, it's like, that is our home. They don't want to come out. And so some of them will stay there. Yeah. All right. I guess I should have 15 minutes of exhortation. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity again. And let's take our Bibles now and see what we can do from Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And if you are writing, you may put down from verses 1 through 14. Philippians 3, 1 through 14. But for the sake of time, I'm going to read from verse 12 up to 14. And Paul is speaking to the Philippians. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. You know, once upon a time, I came across a goat that was on a rope and was tied to a tree. And I saw something unusual that drew my attention or inspired my interest to stand there for a while and watch this goat. The goat had pulled away from the tree the full length of the rope and was still kind of pressing on and stretching. And I was like, what is this goat doing? So as I came closer, I saw that it was aiming at a grain of corn. There was a grain of corn that this goat was trying to reach. And it would try and stretch, and it would not succeed. And it would come back and just relax, go around the tree, you know, relax. And then it would come back for another attempt. It did that for a couple of times. And then finally, I saw that it was able to reach the grain with a foreleg and drew it forward. And what a victory that goat had. It enjoyed that single grain of corn. I was going on my way very happy and excited for the victory of the goat. It's like, wow, yeah, it made it. But then I questioned myself, why would you stand watching this goat for this long time? You know, but as I thought about it, then that drew my attention to the lesson of persistence in a Christian life, that we need to persist in our Christian life in order to get to a crowning end. Like Paul, we know when he was closer to his death, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. And now it's laid up for me, the crown." So basically, he gets to a point in his life when he said, "I have finished the race." That's the crowning Christian race. That's where you reach and you say, "I have finished it." But until then, we need to persist in our Christian life. By persistency, I mean you do not fail once or even 1,000 times and then you give up. You just need to get up and again to another try, to another attempt until you succeed. And I saw a sign somewhere in one of the rooms at the Bob Jones Academy that says that failure is when you stop trying. Failure is when you stop trying. So this evening, we'll talk briefly about persistence as the secret to a crowning Christian life. And let's have a short word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do bless your name and thank you for this opportunity to gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he is here with us. Holy Spirit, you are here and we acknowledge your presence. We do pray that you would incline our ears and our hearts to listen, and not just to hear, but also to be doers of the word, so that we will be blessed thereby. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First of all, we don't have the luxury of time, so I'll just be cutting off and moving on. We need to persist to a crowning Christian life, and you do that, first of all, from this lesson by focusing on a goal. You persist in your Christian life by focusing on a goal. You know, many times we begin something. You begin something, like even this year, you started on a very good note. You know, how you're going to have your devotion, how you're going to have evangelism, how you're going to do something for the Lord. And you started on a very good upbeat, like, yeah, I'm getting it done. But it did not take long before you have stopped. Now, I don't know how far you are in what you set out to do. But did you really have a goal? You know, the significance, the importance of the goal that you have is what is going to determine the drive to which and the persistence to which you attach to achieving that goal. So persistence, it needs a focus on a goal. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, Paul is going to tell us what his goal was. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul has something that he was looking up to in his Christian life. There was something very significant, something very tangible, something very important. And in this verse, he's telling us that his motivation for persistence was a certain definite mark. When we think of Paul, we are thinking of somebody who had attained that incredible height in Christianity. Now, some people even think of Paul as a founder of Christianity. And he has written about half of the New Testament books. Paul had done so much, you know, and yet he has also suffered so much, shipwrecks and deadly beatings, and yet he persisted in the ministry, you know, and it was all because he had his eyes fixed on something. He had his eyes fixed on a prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Life is best lived with a goal in mind. Life is best lived with a goal in mind. If you don't have a goal in mind, you cannot live a very meaningful, spiritual, godly life. You may start something, but you are going to fail, or you are going to withdraw at some point. But if you have a goal that you are reaching to, you are going to be consistent in your approach to get that goal. And so you do not need just a goal, but a good goal must be permanent. When I say permanent, I'm looking at something that is eternal, something that is Christ-centered. If you base your goal of life on material things, you are not going to get anywhere, because things are going to be changing. Fashion will change. That new car today you see and you want to reach it, next year there's going to be a new one. And if you are able to reach what you wanted, it becomes nothing. Oh, that's a new one there. You want the iPhone 7? Is it significant anymore? No, iPhone 8 came, 9 came, 10 came. You know, so you have that 7 and it's like, oh, now somebody sees it, oh, that's a toy. It's a toy. If that was your goal, it's nothing anymore. People are now going for 12, right? Or is it 11? Whichever one. So you don't base your life, your motivation for life, for Christian life, for ministry, for even school, on material things, like a good job or like a good salary or what have you. But Christ Jesus must be your goal. So Paul tells us the nature of his goal. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. verse 8 here. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So all that I'm doing, all that I'm suffering, the reason I'm able to get back up and keep going is because I want to win Christ. Christ has won me, and I want to win him. He has reached me, I want to reach him. He has apprehended me, I want to apprehend him. I want to get more of Christ. So that I love that hymn. That's a more about Jesus will I know. More of his grace. More. There will never be a time in your life when you have enough of Jesus Christ. You can never have enough of Jesus until you have reached that point when you say, I have fought a good fight and I have finished the race. So you need a good goal, and that goal must be permanent. Christ Jesus was Paul's motivation, an eternal goal, motivation for persistence. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18, it tells you that you do not focus on physical things, things that we see. Because those things that we see, like I've said already, they are temporal things. They don't last. But you focus your life on things that we do not see, invisible things. In other words, spiritual things. Those are eternal. Those are eternal. And those are the things that you can stand for. They can keep you persistent. And that is what Paul was doing over here, keeping a permanent goal or an eternal goal to reach and for which reason he was very persistent in his life. A good goal is not only permanent, but a good goal will also demand self-denial. When you have a good goal, that is not enough. That is very important, but it is not enough. You need to deny yourself of things in order to continue to reach that goal. And let's see what Paul is doing over here. Look at verses 5 through 8. Paul will now boast of what he has been, you know, in life before. He says that circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Benjamin, or of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, and touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, I was blameless. But there is a but there. Now, these are things that a Jew would boast of. And Paul had achieved all this. And people were looking at Paul like some high-class, you know, citizen. These are the people, when they are coming, you will be bowing for them. Oh, yeah, they are coming. Oh, yeah, your majesty. You know. But he says there is a but. He said, but these things that I had as a gain, he said, but what things were gain to me, those I counted loss. For what? For Christ. I counted them loss for Christ. Yeah, doubtless. And I count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So Paul has firmly established his eyes on Jesus Christ. Paul started this chapter by counting his loss. He tells us of how much he has had to lose of things that he previously cherished and prided in. So in verse 5, as we've read, he speaks of his pride, of the pride of his traditions and nationality. In verse 6, he's speaking of his Pharisaic achievements. But all these things Paul is now counting as a waste because of his newly established focus, his newly established goal or vision. And we have read what he says. Now, so we need to be persistent in our Christian life. That is what is going to get us to a victorious end. And that persistency comes with a goal. And a goal must be permanent. It must be an eternal goal. And it must demand some self-denial. You must deny yourself of some things that you used to pride yourself in. So as you keep reaching more closer and closer to God or to Christ, to your goal, you're going to see that some of the things that you used to cherish are no more fun for you to be doing. Amen. You know, there were two gentlemen that they had a contract to lay up some tracks on a field for an athletic event. So they had to lay these tracks, and they were supposed to lay them straight. And one of them, Joseph, he was doing a very good job. His tracks that he was laying very straight up. But Mark realized that his track was not going straight. It was crooked. So he went up in frustration to Joseph. He said, "Joseph, I can't get my track straight. What's happening?" And Joseph said, "Oh, yeah, there's something I did. I had a mark at the beginning of my work and a corresponding mark to where I should end. So as I'm cutting, as I'm laying the tracks, I'm looking at my starting point corresponding to my ending point. So I line up very straight." He said, "Oh, well, that's great. You should have told me earlier." Well, what happened was Mark had his jacket at where he should start from. The jacket was already, so, "Oh, yeah, I got my jacket there already. So where am I supposed to take this to? Oh, yeah, that place." You know, interestingly, there were some goats or sheep that were feeding on the field ahead of him. And he decided to use the fattest one as his corresponding focus. So as he was laying the tracks, kind of making whatever he was doing, he looks back and then he looks, "Yeah, where is that? Yeah, that's the one there." Then he's going, "Where is it? Oh, yeah, that's the one there." So you can imagine what is happening now. He's getting a very straight line, right? Right? No. He got worse. And he goes back to Joseph in despair. He said, "Joseph, what's that? I still can't get it straight." He said, "Did you get a mark at your beginning?" He said, "Yes." "Do you have one at the end?" He said, "Yes." "What do you have at the end there?" He said, that big sheep." He said, "No, it doesn't work that way. The sheep, they were feeding on the grass. They were eating. And so they were moving. And so if you use that for your focus, for your goal, it's just moving. And that is like you and me having the material things in this life as our focus. It's moving. It's just moving. If you talk of a degree, academic degree, you get it, and it's not significant after a while. You want to get a new one. If Christ is your vision, if Christ is your focus, you get him, and you are satisfied. And Joseph had to point out to Mark that, "Look, I had a peg. Just not just a mark there. I put a peg there. I nailed it down, and I nailed the other one down. It's not moving." That's a permanent goal that we need to have. That is going to make you persistent. When you reach it, you will know that you have reached it. And when you reach it, you are satisfied, and you don't want anything else. Amen. So when Paul found Jesus and he got more of Jesus and was satisfied with Jesus, he didn't want anything else. He did not want anything else. You and I will need to learn to persist in our Christian life, and we persist by focusing on a goal that is permanent, that is demanding self-denial. So too many times or too often, you and I, our goals are moving objects. Moving objects like a car, moving objects like a new house, moving objects like some academic degree. Those do not offer lasting satisfaction. But we need an eternal goal. We need Christ. And you may ask, "Is Christ all I need?" And I'll say, "Yes, absolutely." Even for your GPA, you want to say, "How will this GPA, maybe 4.0, how is it going to enhance my achieving Christ? How would this new car enhance my service to the Lord? How would a new house, how would an extra shoe, how would an extra dress enhance my Christian life, my achieving more of Christ?" So everything is about Jesus Christ. Your whole life must be about Jesus Christ. That is how you become a significant person in this life and in the Lord. Young man, young lady, you think it's about a guy, you will not be satisfied. You may not be satisfied. It's about Jesus Christ. And you find Jesus, you are satisfied with everything that he gives you. If you don't have Jesus, Jesus, whatever that comes to you, you are never satisfied. Because inward you are empty. You are empty. So we need to have a goal that is going to help our persistence and our achieving of Christ. The nature of your goal today is going to determine the nature of your life tomorrow. The kind of goal you have today is going to tell the nature of your life tomorrow. And I pray that tomorrow your life is going to continue to be significant. It's going to honor God because you are focused on Christ Jesus. Now, in order to persist, we not only need a goal, but we also need to put the past behind us. You need to put the past behind. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 here, Paul is saying that, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then verse 14, he'll say, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Now, Paul may well be referring to the past of success and the past of failures that he may have experienced, failures and sufferings. And he's teaching us here in these short verses here that you can persist in your Christian life by avoiding complacency. Putting the past behind you means you are avoiding complacency. Complacency is the attitude of being satisfied with your spiritual level, if you like, and therefore not having the motivation to move on or to continue. I'm satisfied with having won 2 souls. Well, I've done well. Clap for me, everybody. I've won 2 souls. Yeah, and that is it. Yeah, I've done well. So you hear people say, I used to. You are living on past glory. So many churches are living on past glory. Many Christians are living on past glory. They tell you what they used to do. Oh, we used to. It's not about we used to. It's about I am. I am following. I am pursuing. Because that is what God is doing. God did not just create the world and leave it. He's keeping the world. He's keeping you and I. And he wants us to also continue to follow. So you need to avoid complacency. And that's what we just read from verses 13 and 14. So complacency is a recipe for failure. When you are complacent, you are setting yourself up for failure. And at this point in the life of Paul, one would have thought that he should be maybe blowing his horn. See how much I have done. See what I have done here. I've been to Corinth. I've been to this place. I've been to Athens. See what? But he's saying that I don't count myself to have done anything. I do not see myself to have achieved anything. But what I do, I put behind me that which I have done already. That is past. And I am looking at that which is left to be done. So Paul is not looking at what is done before. He's looking at how much is left to be done. How much souls? How many souls have you won? That is great. But a great question is how many more souls are yet to be won? How much gospel have you preached to how many people? Great. How many people are yet to hear the gospel? That is the focus. You avoid the complacency of how much you've been able to do already. And you focus on how much is left to be done. And Paul says that that is what I do. So you put the past behind you by avoiding complacency and then also by focusing on what remains ahead. So for Paul, the Christian life is not so much about how much has been done, but also what remains to be done. And he considered what remained of a higher value. Therefore, he fixed his eyes on what he was yet to achieve. Fix your eyes on what is yet to be done. Don't start fantasizing with what you've been able to do already by the grace of God. You've done great work. There's no doubt about it. This is a small ministry. It's a small church here. I'm sure you've done great ministry work supporting missionaries. There's me to be added. Amen. So you have not done enough yet, because there are so many more missionaries to be added. So don't be complacent, but focus on what remains ahead. There's one game that I like at Awana. It's called Beanbag Grab. How many of you know that game? Oh, yeah. Beanbag Grab, you know, Awana, we have this four square and the sections, the clubbers have their sections in colors. And then you have a heap of beanbags in the center. And a representative from the sections will be running together to grab a bag, go and put it behind your section line, run, come and grab, go and put it there, come and grab, go and put it there. And I've never seen a clubber at some point stopping to take account of how many he has grabbed already. Oh, one, two, three, four, five. Oh, and then you compare with the, oh, they have only five. I got 10 already. Yeah, it's okay. No, I've never seen that. Have you seen that? No. They focus on what is in the center. And they keep running and grabbing until they are coming back and, oh, there is no more. And even they want to run after the one who has taken the last one to go and grab it from him. That is the attitude of a Christian. You focus on what remains ahead. And so when these children have grabbed the bags, at the end of it, when everything is finished from the center, now we are going to take a count and see how many you were able to grab. Then we award your section some points. And in Ghana, they like the points because at the end of a month, the section that accumulates the most points, they get some awards. They get, here you may say candies, some chocolates, and they are so excited. That is the Christian attitude. We don't focus on what we've already done. You know, we would focus on what remains ahead. And when we do that, we are not going to be complacent. We are going to focus on what remains ahead. In conclusion, you know, once upon a time, I gave three men a gospel tract. And one of them turned it front and back, and it's like, oh, it's a gospel tract. That's great. And he said, I also used to do that. And I said, what do you mean by you used to do that? So I also used to hand out gospel tracts like you are doing. He said, you used to? He said, yeah. But why did you stop? He said, I did not stop. I mean, he actually protested. I did not stop. I finished. Wow. What do you mean? You finished? So now he narrates to me how he was very dynamic, effective Christian in his church, and he rose through the ranks in his denomination to become a national leader, you know, like a national youth leader or something like that, for 10 years, from 1974 to 1984. And he said, yeah, so that was enough. I finished. And I said, no, we don't finish. We do not finish until we are finished. You don't finish until you are finished. Folks, the Christianity is a lifelong profession. Christianity is a lifelong profession. We must persist in it. But sometimes in an environment like we have, so much pressure. Pressure to pay for your mortgage, pressure to pay for your phone bills, and pressure to pay for so many other things. It becomes very difficult, very hectic to continue even when you start something good. But we have to keep at the back of our minds, if we have Christ as our goal, we are going to persist. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what the circumstances around us would be. Apostle Paul, how did you become such a fantastic Christian? And he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. At what level are you in your Christian life? You've done so well, maybe.
need to continue. You need to persist. Don't look at the circumstances or the people around you. You may get discouraged. They are not your focus. Your focus is Christ Jesus. And you keep striving. And even if you fail, get up and start again. Get up and start again. Get up and start again. You have not failed until you have failed. Maybe for you, you have not even started at all. But the starting point is when you have Jesus Christ come into your life. When you acknowledge him as your Savior. Acknowledging Jesus as your Savior begins with acknowledging that you are a sinner. And Paul will say somewhere that this is a faithful saying, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, of which I am the chief. You have to see yourself as a chief sinner. That is when you have the need for Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, now is the time to begin to have more of him. And if it's your focus, it's your vision, you don't stop because of anything until you have reached that point when you are answering the call and you can say, I have finished the fight, I have run the race, and I'm done. The Lord bless his word. Amen.
That's an encouragement to us tonight, is it? Is it not? I want to give you a chance to respond. If the Lord it had your name was on this message tonight, let's take our hymn books, go to 806.